Sharia law. And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh man, I hope we don't ever wind up with a society like this with a rape rate of zero, where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen. And, you know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, I mean, Sharia law is obviously just a punchline. I don't know that too many people actually believe in the reality of that. And I mean, sure, like I said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I actually studied legal philosophy. Right. Sharia is not that different from other legal codes. A lot of our own legal code, the Anglo-Saxon common law, Anglo-American common law, derives ultimately from religious authorities.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. If you guys like, I don't know, up-to-date information that's fairly unbiased on situations that are taking place on the ground over inside of Israel, Ukraine, here in the United States, anything related to geopolitics, and you just want straightforward answers, you found your home. Go ahead and like and subscribe to the channel. Ladies and gentlemen, about 2 hours ago-ish, maybe three, we started to get information rolling out of Gaza that IDF ended up getting ambushed by Hamas outside of Khan Yunis. Actually had some good phone conversations about what ended up taking place on that. And I've got some new footage of that that has recently emerged. You may or may not be seeing some Palestinian fighters that got really tired after they decided to conduct this ambush on the ground over inside of Gaza. So you can see that. Yeah, but as far as Tucker Carlson goes, I don't know what he's thinking when it comes to Sharia law. I mean, maybe he needs to study Sharia law just a little bit more and understand that, yeah, while there is a reason that you don't have to worry about people stealing your stuff, because they'll chop off your hand and then they'll chop off your foot the second time you do it. Now, you can look at that and you can say that that's a very good thing, and I'd like to see thieves have their hands and feet cut off over here in the United States. But if a woman accuses a man of rape and she doesn't bring forward the proper number of witnesses and it's unsubstantiated, she might be put to death. You never know, right? So, honestly, it kind of disturbs me the direction he's going and what we're seeing actually happening. Situation we're going to be keeping a close watch on as well, taking place down inside of Venezuela, where the U.S. has sent two warships and I want to say it was a submarine. So two warships, two destroyers, and a submarine, along with a couple thousand Marines down into the area. And I want you guys to hear what the White House actually ended up saying about this.
The three U.S. warships that are being sent to Venezuela, and there's 4,000 Marines on board. Are you looking at the possibility of boots on the ground there?
What I will say with respect to Venezuela, President Trump has been very clear and consistent. He's prepared to use every element of American power to stop drugs from flooding into our country and to bring those responsible to justice. The Maduro regime is not the legitimate government of Venezuela. It is a narco-terror cartel. And Maduro, it is the view of this administration, is not a legitimate president. He is a fugitive head of this cartel who has been indicted in the United States for trafficking drugs into the country. And with that, I will leave you all, and we will see you later, if not tomorrow. And
she just go ahead and drop the mic and walk away. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to take any questions on that. Don't worry about it. So they're on their way down there. We're going to take a look at it. Other big thing that Trump admin ended up doing as it relates to Gaza is this. This came out just a couple days ago after Laura Loomer ended up posting videos of some people from Gaza arriving over inside of Houston. I've mentioned it a couple different times. Ended up looking into it to see if anything actually ended up coming out of that. Looks like the Trump administration had actually halted those visas. So that's not happening anymore. So yes, that was a real story that did in fact occur. Laura Loomer did not make that up, and they ended up halting the visas. And what this actually breaks down is how it came through. They came through a humanitarian organization, it looks like, to get those visas approved on a medical exemption to come into the United States in order to get surgery. And they were temporary visas. Either way, United States policy is not to accept refugees from Gaza. And so now they have halted that, and they're trying to figure out where all of these people are coming from and why. Amit, have you seen Ryan Macbeth video about being wrong about Israel? Yeah, I played it last night, as a matter of fact, and I still have it. It's a very interesting video. Ryan Macbeth actually coming out and saying, yep, I screwed up, shouldn't have done that. It might actually be this one right here, as a matter of fact. I'm still not a big fan of Ryan Macbeth, but I mean, I'm not going to lie. You got to kind of give credit where credit's due. The man actually came out and apologized and admitted to being wrong.
And that's what hit me hardest on this trip. You know, we talk about Israel like it's this abstract news story, but when you're standing there looking at 2,000-year-old coins, shaking hands with people, with Muslims who are just trying to live, you realize this isn't an academic debate. This is survival. History doesn't lie. Jews have been in this land for thousands of years. They're not going anywhere. So yeah, I was wrong about Israel. I thought this was Northern Ireland with a really different accent, but it's not. In Northern Ireland, both sides could live together in peace once the guns went quiet. Here, one side has been taught from childhood that the other side shouldn't exist. And that's a problem you can't solve with a treaty, a UN map, or a feel-good slogan. Maybe that makes me a Zionist, whatever the hell that word means, or a shill, or whatever label people want to throw at me, but it doesn't make me a liar.
And that is the one line that I actually have to respect that he did come out and state, because he said it didn't make him a liar. And he admits to being wrong, which is something that I am like all about supporting. You guys know me. I do that personally. Every time I get something wrong, I always do my best to issue a correction. As long as I'm made aware of it and I know that it actually exists, I'll always come out and do my best to make that correction. So good on Mr. Macbeth for taking care of that Trump, actually, before we get into this, because there was a article that was written over, and I want to say it was like the Jerusalem Post, that said that most Americans don't support what's taking place over inside of Gaza. Trump actually had a statement about Bibi yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu. I want you guys to hear it.
I got them back, worked with your friend Bibi. He's a good man. He's in there fighting. He's fighting, you know, they're trying to put him in jail on top of everything else. How about that? He's
nuts.
He's a war hero. Because we work together. He's a war hero. I guess I am, too.
Yep.
Nobody cares, but I am, too. I mean, I sent those planes. But I got them back, worked with your friend Bibi. He's a good man. He's in there fighting. He's fighting. You know, they're trying to put him in jail on top of everything else. How about that? He's
nuts.
He's a war hero. Because we work together. He's a war hero. I guess I am, too.
Yep.
Nobody cares, but I am, too. I mean, I sent those planes. But I got them back, worked with.
So I think that's actually pretty important to be saying, especially on the world stage today, because of what's going on currently over inside of Gaza. Obviously, we're going to go and we're going to talk about this ambush that occurred today. But also yesterday, what ended up coming out was plans for Israel to go and take over Gaza City. And there is current negotiations that are ongoing with Hamas. That is happening, but it's more or less like negotiations for the hostages. And good question whether or not that this plan to go and take over Gaza City is Israel's attempt to kind of like force Hamas into that, to giving up these hostages. So we don't know. Fox McCloud says, you were wrong about mustache. Please apologize. What mustache are you talking about? Mustaches are still just weird in general. Every time I see a mustache, I automatically think pedophile and wood chipper, or firefighter, you know, one or the other. Derek Joliffe says, good morning, Matt. Could we pray for my little brother? He just became a Marine in Paris Island and graduates on the 22nd. Nice, man. Yes. Yes. We should include that at the end today. Lord, please look after Derek Joliffe's brother, who is graduating from Paris Island and joining the elite ranks of the United States Marine Corps. Look over him and every single Marine that he serves with and their commanders, and make sure that they have all the discernment to make the correct decisions should they have to go into battle, and let them be armed with your word, so that they don't feel fear and that they're able to do everything they need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Sergeant French Monta has Houthi ties. Oh, great. Great. That's good to know. We'll have to get into that later on. So, let's just keep this ball rolling over here for you guys. Let's get into this ambush. This morning, coordinated attack on an IDF outpost near Khan Yunis. The word was originally that this ambush actually took place over outside of Rafah. For those that are unfamiliar with the map, I actually do have a map update for you guys here in just a sec. So might as well throw this map up on the screen and then we'll talk about this here in the future. Obviously, you have Khan Yunis that's right down over here, but it's important to look at this, because what you're looking at, everything in yellow, is currently what Israel is occupying / controlling over inside of Gaza. Now, I do not have an exact geolocation for where this ambush went down, but originally they had said that this had taken place over inside of Rafah. That's not true. This actually took place over outside of Khan Yunis, inside of one of the controlled areas. And the word is, what ended up happening was you had about 20 to 30 terrorists. And so unknown number, I just heard 22 the last time, but it started off at like 10, then it went to like 15. And prior to that, I had a conversation. It was up to 30. Of these guys. They don't know the exact number, but somewhere in the vicinity of 30 actually came out of tunnels and entered or came very close to entering into this compound of IDF soldiers that were in this outpost. They were carrying stretchers with them, and it looked like it was an attempted kidnapping. So they wanted to take these IDF soldiers captive. And again, this is likely because of the negotiations that are taking place and everything else. And they're trying to get a little bit of an upper hand on it. The Israelis did end up releasing some footage of airstrikes that took place on the ground over inside or outside of Khan Yunis as a result of this, of them targeting those terrorists. Now, several IDF service members were wounded in these attacks. Word is that one was seriously wounded and a couple others were had, you know, basically sustained some walking injuries. But they're all being treated. And right around, what I heard was right around 10 of these Hamas fighters ended up getting killed. And the rest of them ended up breaking contact, tuck tail, and running. I like my full beard. Yeah, everybody should like having their full beard. Let's just be honest there. My daddy has a stash all of his life. Well, Linda Liu, that's different when you grew up in the 70s and 80s, I guess, or 60s and whenever. But nowadays, that's just where I mean, I'm not going to say I'm... Look, if you guys like mustaches, that's your own thing. But I'm not going to correct the record on something that I don't like. I'm just going to say, you know, it's not my thing. This little image right here that I have put up, like I said, there's some Palestinian fighters that ended up getting caught on camera. You know, some of these jihadists afterwards that got tired and they fell asleep. And luckily, one of the IDF service members actually captured these guys taking a nap. And so here, what you can see on your screen is several of these jihadists taking a nap after that long battle. They were very, very tired. It just wore them out. It tuckered those poor guys out. Look at them. They're all just tuckered out. So they ended up just taking a short little nap there. Sergeant, finger slipped through the toilet paper. That's not good. That's not good at all. That's disgusting, as a matter of fact. Dear God, man, why would you bring that up? Oh, my goodness. Incog Verde giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Oh, man. Dude, you guys are freaking riot. I love every single one of you. Hey, if you guys are in here, I'm assuming that y'all ended up getting push notifications. But yeah, I mean, maybe everybody's just sleeping this morning. But actually, what ended up happening, channel ends up getting hit with a bot attack. And here we are again, waiting for the bots to kind of wear off and get back to where we go. I don't get it. Oh, poor babies. Yeah, no, they're tired, man. They're tired. You know, they're sleeping. You got to let them sleep. Now, this is, how do I want to say this? Not concerning. And if you really think about it, with the estimated number of enemy fighters that we have talked about that are over inside of Gaza, I put the number at 15K because we honestly don't know. That's just based off of, how do I want to say this? Old enemy statistics followed by, you know, the last time that Israel actually put out numbers, it might actually be less than that, including defectors and everybody else. But what we do know is that they were operating in smaller isolated cells. The reason this attack within itself is a little bit more serious and that everybody should be paying attention to it is because you had right around 30, which is, you know, a platoon size element that ended up coming out of the ground and going over to attack the IDF in order to try to, you know, take hostages or kidnap more soldiers and drag them into these freaking negotiations. Now, Why do I think that's concerning? Because it's showing a little bit more coordination. Now, here is the thing on top of that. It still shows that their numbers are way lower probably than that 15K and that they're not as well coordinated as they would like to think. 30 fighters going up to attack a freaking defensive fighting position like that against an actual military has a very low probability of success. If the lower number is true at 22, that I ended up seeing reported. And I see this article right here even says at least 18 Hamas fighters, right? But if you have coordination that's actually taking place, but all you can gather up is 20 to 30 guys, that's pretty freaking sad. And it shows several things because we know there's multiple pockets of Hamas fighters. So they are isolated and they're captured, they're like cut off. Likely all they were able to muster up in this area over outside of Khan Yunis was everything that you see thrown into this. This would have been something that they would have rehearsed for. This would have been something they planned for. This would have been something they collected intelligence on this outpost. They would have been like planning the sucker out. And the reason it's actually a bad sign, but a good sign is we'll go with bad sign is that they're actually trying to coordinate and like regroup and get back together, which is all the more reason, in my opinion, for Israel to kind of continue to push and push fast. Runasaur coming in gifting out 22-0 Speak the Truth memberships. Thank you, sir. So yes, that's troubling and kind of concerning within itself, that, you know, Hamas thinks that they can, you know, regroup and coordinate and try to launch an attack. Good news is that it was a failed attack and their coordination was very, very poor at best, poorly executed. When you have 30 people that are trying to assault that particular location. And I don't know how many soldiers were on this particular outpost over there outside of Khan Yunis. Could have been a small outpost. Like, none of that's really came out. Could have been a guard tower. Could have been a lookout. Could have been, you know, 5 to 10 guys that are just hanging out over there. We don't know. But what we do know is that they are kind of isolated and cut off. And when we look at the front line picture, which I just had up on the screen, let me go back and find that sucker. When we take a look at the front line picture, and we start looking at what's going on over there inside of Gaza, it is clear to me that, you know, you do have these little pockets of insurgencies that are taking place. But yesterday it ended up getting announced that 50 to 60,000, I heard numbers as high as 100,000 IDF reservists are going to be called back into service in the very near future to go and seize Gaza City. Tom Tuttle says, good job on the real news. Thank you, Tom. I thoroughly enjoy doing this, and I like to make sure that you guys get accurate information. So they're talking about going over and like fully seizing Gaza City and calling up to 100,000 reservists. I heard 60,000. I heard 50,000. I heard numbers up to 100. Now, when you have these little isolated pockets such as you have over near Khan Yunis, it's kind of clear, you know, why that attack was as failed and crappy as humanly possible. But we do know that a lot of those Hamas fighters are picking and choosing. And like I told you guys, that all they're going to start doing is retrograding back into some of these more populated centers, and they're going to be setting up ambushes. Down inside Rafah, when Israel went in there last year, what we ended up seeing was a lot of house-borne IEDs, and they were doing baited ambushes. And I have an example of what that looks like for you guys here in just a second from fighting from last year. Israel undoubtedly is going to expect a lot of that up in the north inside of Gaza City. That would be, you know, here you got your Netzarim corridor, and there you've got Gaza City chilling up there. You've got Jabalia and all that other crap. So if those fighters have fled back and kind of retrograded back into the center of Gaza City, Israel is going to be expecting a very hard battle. Now, this battle to take over Gaza City is supposed to kick off no later than next month. All right, so sometime in September, I've heard people say a couple days, which I don't buy. It takes a hell of a lot longer to mobilize people than a couple days. So likely a few weeks away, I'd put it mid-September, right? You need to upfit them. You need to make sure they're trained. You need to make sure they have good situational assessments. They're probably still finalizing some plans for it. And they're adjusting things on the fly and making sure that all the coordinating efforts, vehicles, logistics supplies, all of that crap, that is a lot of people to be able to go in there and take over this. But yeah, 60,000. Correct, Linda. 60,000. I see the questions down there. 60,000. Howdy. I am just mad and FML. Been depressed lately, but I'm working a new job. Well, dude, continue to do that. And remember that the only thing that you control is what's inside of you. You know, we often want the world to go our way, but unfortunately, you know, the world's going to do what the world wants to do, and it's our job to just kind of steer our vessel through that. Engineer Ed says, no Sharia law here in the USA. Better take a look at Dearborn. Yesterday over in Dearborn, Michigan, they were chanting like death to America, for crying out loud, or maybe it was like the day before. Really, really troubling crap. And I actually saw some other stuff like that over inside of like New York as well, which, again, troubles the living hell out of me, if we're going to be perfectly honest. So this is what the IDF's dealing with. Now, when they go in there and they if this assault does take place, right? If this assault does take place and they go into Gaza and they go to take over Gaza City and this hostage negotiation doesn't go through, you can expect a very long, like 60-day, like intense fighting in order to get this thing taken care of. And with that amount of soldiers that are going to be on the ground, you can bet that they are going to be literally going inch by inch. You know, I told you guys when Israel kicked this thing off months ago that it's not going to go as quick as everybody would like to think it is. And if you take a look at the different terrain that they've held up in the north, obviously they've gone over, they've taken over Jabalia, they've dominated the freaking north, they've dominated their border, and made sure that all that's secure, and now they're pushing back over towards the coastline. This is taking an exceptionally long amount of time because they need to make sure that there are no Hamas fighters behind them. Now, what we haven't seen is a lot of heavy contact or a lot of Israeli casualties coming out of this. That means that Hamas has either given up, unlikely, because of their radical religious ideology, or They have pulled back. And chances are that they have pulled back. I've seen heavy airstrikes over the last 2 weeks that were taking place over inside of Gaza City and a couple other locations. And what that means is that this entire time that Israel has been clearing out these tunnel systems and taking care of all of this, as they've been clearing out all of that, Hamas has been inside Gaza City and inside these other areas in the south, literally just planning for the IDF to show up. And so they're going to end up reaching like some pretty heavy contact at some point. They're definitely going to end up taking casualties going through this, but they got to take it slow and they got to go house by house. Christo, hey, Matt, I contacted you about sending something to Australia. Is that still possible at all? I don't even remember, man. Honestly, my brain's not working very well. I don't remember off the top of my head, brother. I'm sorry. Send me another DM so you can remind me, please. It's just been very busy, a lot of personal stuff lately. But yeah, that's what we're looking at. A lot of freaking heavy fighting taking place. Now, this is actually some good news because just got off the phone earlier today. I am, in fact, going to be going into Israel next month, and it looks like we are getting access to go into Gaza as well. With that being said, I'm going to have a lot of up-to-date information coming from you guys. Now, I don't want you guys to get too excited. I'm not going to be allowed to bring a camera and things like that with me while I'm over inside of Gaza, but I will be giving you guys updates once I get back out. So I'm going to be bringing my camera system and everything like that with me, and I'm going to give you guys updates, all right? So it's going to be interesting if this thing kicks off before I get there and what the battle situation is going to be like on the ground. I'm also going to get... let me put it this way. I should be talking to some very important people, so I should have some very good updates that are going to end up coming out of this for you guys. And all of it is actually coming at a very, very crucial time. So will I have some footage? Will I have some photographs? Yes, I will, from our time on the ground out there. But the IDF just wants to make sure that they are, how do I want to say this, managing operational security correctly. So I'm going to make dang sure that I end up taking some very thorough notes, and I'm going to make dang sure that you guys end up getting some updates from while I'm in there. So as all of this is going on, this clearing operation and or the prep for the clearing operation, I'm going to have hopefully some very, very good up-to-date information as well coming out of Gaza from these battles, giving you guys some updates. So all of that came in a very, very good time. And I look forward to being able to push that out to you guys as I'm up over in there. Drop a like in the stream. Heck yeah, man. You guys should be dropping a like in the stream. If you guys didn't know, man, this stream has been attacked by bots ever since I came out with like all the Aguilar crap and went off. All the pro-Pali nut jobs ended up coming over and attacking the stream, reporting the channel, doing all sorts of weird stuff. And so the algorithm isn't pushing it out. So if you guys actually want to help get this information, this message out, do that. Like the stream. Like if there's ever a time that it's more important, you know, normally we have 2,000 people here in the morning, and right now we're sitting at under 800. So make sure that you guys are liking this stream, and do me a favor, even though you might not do it, share the dang stream. All right. Grab that sucker, take this video, share it with other people, tell them to go watch it because it's super, super important. Matt, please have a fan meeting in Israel. Yeah. As soon as I get more on the schedule, I can do that and I'll announce that. Obviously, you know, for, personal safety reasons. I'm actually not that concerned about it. I'll speak with Daron, figure out a good location in order to do that. And yeah, we should have a meetup over inside Israel. I would agree with that. I'm more than okay with doing that. So yeah, guys, like this channel, subscribe if you haven't already done it, because that's what's ended up happening is we ended up getting bot attacks. And if you guys don't know how the algorithm works, it's pretty freaking annoying. You know, when they send bots over your channel, YouTube basically thinks that you're trying to cheat the system and earn money that you didn't earn. And what they'll end up doing is they'll end up basically suppressing your channel. And that's how they end up suppressing the message, by throwing bots at you. So YouTube thinks you're basically trying to steal from them by sending bots over to your channel. And then it ends up getting suppressed in the algorithm because they can detect those things. And it's really frustrating. It's really annoying, but it's something that we've been dealing with for God only knows how long. And if they think that a bot attack is going to scare us away, nope, not going to go anywhere. We're just going to continue to do it. Let's go take a look at Gaza. Here's Gaza in 2023 before the attack on October 7th. And it's going to be followed by what it looks like today. Check that out. Take a look at that. You know, and people are making it seem like it's all sad and stuff like that. No, it's not sad at all. This is actually the result of electing Hamas. This is the result of cheering them on when they, after they rolled into Israel and murdered 1,200 people. And this is the result of refusing to give up the hostages that they ended up taking and murdering them while they were like hiding them down in the tunnels, not to mention torturing them, making like mentally and physically using starvation as a tool. You want to talk about somebody that's using starvation as a tool. Look at those hostages that are in there. Right. And I am also very happy to be able to say that I'm going to be meeting up with some of the hostages that got taken into Gaza as well. So I'll be able to have some, I don't want to say good information, but some more insight to what those hostages actually went through with Hamas. That is going to be crucial information, and I very much look forward to it. Obviously, I've interviewed the Bibas family, and I've done lots of things over the course of the last couple of years. But this within itself is going to be a very good trip, and I very much so look forward to this. So you guys, 100%, if there was ever a time to make sure that you're subscribed to the channel, if there's ever a time to become a true supporter, now would be a very good time. I'm going to do my best to be doing Discord lives while I'm over there. Probably end up doing it from my phone, but I'm going to end up doing that. People like to tell you that, you know, over inside of Gaza, there's not an issue. And I'll tell you that another call or a conversation that I ended up having had to do with the way forward, right? So what's going to be happening inside of Gaza following Israel taking over Gaza City? What's going to happen? And like, what are people's thoughts on that? And when you look at everything over inside of Gaza, is there actually any friendly people to Israel? You know, they've already stated that they don't want to control it, that they want to put like a pro-Israel government in place. And what it's actually starting to come out and sound like is it's basically eating the better part of a poop sandwich, right? Like putting as much seasoning on it as you can and hoping that your body's not going to reject it. And the reason that it's in that situation, while you might have clan leaders that are willing to work with the Israeli Defense Forces, you got to remember that a lot of those clan leaders were actually murdered, that Hamas actually went after some of those clans. And so they do have motivation to kick Hamas out of power. But that doesn't mean that they don't have radical ideology, and it doesn't mean that they're 100% pro-Israel and or pro-West. The reason that took place is because of things like this. These are kids. These are Palestinian children. They're Palestinian children. All right? And it's important to take a look, and it's important to show this because this is how they're all, pretty much they're all raised. All right? Pretty much how every single one of them is raised over there. They're raised for martyrdom. They're raised for jihad. They're raised for all of those things. And so when you have a society that's been like that for several decades, not since Hamas took over the Gaza Strip, not since the Palestinian Authority moved in, but for decades, this is how these people have been raised, right? And so you have a generational issue that needs to be broken, and you have a lot of, how do I want to say this? You have a lot of re-education that needs to take place for some of these people. And, you know, the young kids are likely going to be some of the hardest in order to re-educate. And certainly you're not going to re-educate the old people because they're going to be stuck in their ways. You know, it's easier to lie than to convince people that they've been lied to. It's easier to convince people of a lie than to convince them that they've been lied to. It's insane. It's absolutely insane, like the huge battle that they're actually up against when it comes to taking care of this. And so if there is going to be any sort of new government over inside of there, it's going to have a very close watch on it. And these people, like, it's going to be a very drawn out process. Back during the beginning of this, you know, Netanyahu said it could take up to 10 years for them to take care of it. John Klein becoming a true supporter. Good to have you on board, my friend. Thank you very much. 10 years. 10 years. Israel is likely going to be inside Gaza. And honestly, when it goes down to undoing, you know, several generations, and by the way, what year are we moving into now? We're 2025, so we're moving into year two here, year three over inside of Ukraine already. But, you know, by the time this whole thing's wrapped up and they're actually moving forward in that direction, you're likely going to be sitting around 3 to 4 years into this conflict. And so you're actually talking about 6 to 7 years, right? When it actually comes down to doing your best to re-educate and get somebody that, like, get a population in place that actually is willing to, like, fight on the side of Israel. And that's going to include a lot of similarities like we saw over inside of Iraq when the U.S. was over inside of there. democracy was a very real thing that those people were very happy to be able to take part in. You know, we had to protect those election sites and we had to protect those people, because even then, at the time that we were holding elections, even like the second election, like later on, you still had terror attacks that were taking place and people that were getting killed that were showing up to do those elections. And so this terrorism thing, like, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that Israel is going to be able to stomp out 100% of Hamas. It's just not going to happen. Matt Army Vet says, do you think it was better when Arafat was in charge? No, I don't. Mm-mm. No, I think that, like, when you look at Arafat, you're talking about like the groundwork being laid for what we currently have going on over there, if you want me to be perfectly honest with it. Right. And it's just insane to me that anybody, yeah, like, you can't, there is no such thing as like a moderate radical. There is no such thing as like a moderate when it comes to this situation. Even Arafat and everybody else thought that greater Israel, what we now know today and recognize internationally, is like the territory of Israel, the Israeli state. Even that dude, right, didn't believe wholeheartedly that freaking Israel should own that territory. And so those beliefs are deeply ingrained, and that's why I end up throwing up cultural issues and generational issues, because it's taking so damn long. And you've got to find a way to be able to work around that. And this is on a scale, you know, everything in this war is unprecedented. Everything in this war is unprecedented, to be perfectly honest. And they've got to be able to find a way, because it's not in writing. It's never been done before. So Israel's got to be able to find a way to figure all of that out. For crying out loud. I mean, even in more moderate countries such as Lebanon, and I hate to call them like a moderate one, you still have issues that take place. Here is a journalist out of Lebanon.
بأن أي شعب في العالم لديه أرض محتلة يحق له الدفاع المسلح في كل مكان في العالم يعني مش بس بيعطيك الحق تتسلح أنت بداخل لبنان بيعطيك الحق تقاتل الإسرائيلي إذا شفته بباريس.
Did you guys hear that? Probably not. I'm going to go back because I know some of you guys listen to this while you're at work. Geneva Convention states that any nation in the New World whose land is occupied has the right to an armed defense anywhere in the world. In other words, not only does it give you the right to arm yourself inside of Lebanon, but also the right to kill an Israeli if you see him in Paris. This idea of an occupation is one that obviously ended up coming out after 48. And it's aimed at the freaking Jews, and it's aimed at Israel. And they're not talking about occupying Gaza. They're not talking about occupying the West Bank or Judea Samaria. And portions of Lebanon, by the way, are considered portions of Palestine. They're talking about what they view historically as Palestine as their divine right. And they don't think that the international community had the right to give that land to Israel. They don't think any of that. They think it belongs to them. And so that's that side of occupation that they end up speaking on. And that's how they end up using occupation. That's why occupation exists, so that in their mind, they can do whatever the heck they want in order to achieve their goal of getting rid of Israel. Never heard of this interpretation. Weird. This is one of the main talking points that they end up having, BR. Like, their main talking point, and because I debate these people all the dang time, too. I don't just live on YouTube, right? And one of the craziest dang things, and you'll hear them every time they state it's an occupation, there's a reason they state it's an occupation. They state it's an occupation so that they could then claim the Geneva Convention says that you have every right to go after an occupying power or an occupying force. And so that's why they use the term occupation. This is it. What she just stated is the reason why they state that, because they call it an occupation. And they state that under the Geneva Convention, they are allowed to attack an occupying force, basically by any means and methods. And that's simply not true, and that's simply not the case for what you are seeing currently. This is a twisted narrative of the truth, and it's a flat-out lie. She keeps on, though. It gives you the right to assassinate him wherever you see him in the world. Say that again. It gives you the right to assassinate him wherever you see him in the world. This is all in the Geneva Convention. The false Israeli narrative is not a real religious narrative. It is a narrative they created in order to say that this is their land. So, not only do they not respect the international law that's currently, you know, on the books, but they also don't respect the history. They think it's all a lie. All of the old artifacts, all of the old coins, everything that are found over in modern Israel, they think it's all a lie. They think that none of that happened. They think that the documented history doesn't exist, which is insane to me. How is this their land? They should go back to their grandparents' land in Poland rather than to come here to us. And what they're talking about is the diaspora that took place following all of this like slaughter that took place over inside Israel. And when you ended up having, you know, these Jews that ended up having to leave that land and go over to Europe, and then they end up getting stuck over there. Until what? The Holocaust. And then following the Holocaust, following World War II, that's when this conversation ends up opening up. So their narrative, they want that to start in 1941, 1940, 1938. They want that narrative to start then, that Europe is the land of, that's where the Jews came from. They refuse to recognize that they were there earlier on. And this goes to a deeper religious context about who owns that land, right? And which is why she ended up bringing in religion in the first place. This entire narrative that they have spun is absolutely disgusting. So yeah, they should go back to their grandparents' land in Poland rather than come here to us. They are racist people. They are racist people. Despite Muslims serving in the government, despite Muslims and Christians and Jews, despite Arabs living over inside of Israel, they're racist. When they bring black Jews from Ethiopia, they give the women injections so that they will not give birth. That's just a flat out lie. Saying that they bring black Jews from Ethiopia and give them injections to sterilize them. And this goes back to those same different blood libels that they're always throwing out there, such as, you know, drinking Christian blood and things of that nature. This is some of the less extreme stuff, but this is what these people actually believe. So I personally, after having the conversation about re-education and what needs to take place inside of Gaza, you need to understand that this is what they are up against. This is what they're taught, right? This is what they're taught. This is what they're taught from frickin' birth. How is it their land? They and their grandparents need to go back to Poland. Imagine a population of 2 million people that think that you don't belong there, and that you're occupying, and that they deserve to murder you underneath the Geneva Convention is perfectly legal. And then you go in and you kick out the terrorist organization that's been ruling them for so long, and you want them to be friendly towards you. While those people might not like Hamas, these are some of the beliefs that they actually hold true deep down in their soul. And whether or not, you know, you as a Westerner or you as a you know, Arab in the Middle East, and even then, like most of the Middle Eastern people understand that what this lady is saying is a lie, because they have more access to information than a lot of those people inside Gaza, a lot of those people inside of the West Bank, right? But they're raised in these UNRWA schools, right? And don't even get me started on UNRWA and how responsible they were for all of this garbage. But they were raised in these UNRWA schools to believe this. This is what they were taught and formally educated on. So you imagine yourself as a child going through school, and then imagine now as an adult coming across some independent research and discovering, oh, what I was taught in school might not necessarily be true, right? Like, I know there is a second motive for the United States bombing Japan with nuclear weapons back during World War II. And that was to keep Russia at bay, to prevent them from becoming the world superpower. Russia had a plan to invade Japan just a couple days after we ended up dropping the nuke. So had we not done that and Russia had committed and sent their troops in and took over Japan, they would have been the ones forcing Japan into surrendering. And the United States wouldn't have. And how would that have changed the world stage, right? And you got to remember, at the same time too, despite the Lend-Lease program and everything that was going on during World War II, for Russia, they were also accredited as taking care of the Nazis in one of two of Hitler's biggest mistakes, which was that one was invading Russia during the wintertime and not having the logistics and everything to keep up. But the reason you had so many Russian bodies, if you haven't seen the stats of how many Russians died during World War II, go look it up. You know, like we often in the West, we get like, especially if you're from America, you get this idea that, you know, America came in and we started whooping everybody's butt. And the truth is that Russia played a very big role in helping to defeat Nazi Germany. Very, very big role. And so we were on that. So now armed with that information, imagine being these people, right? And learning all of this crap in school. And now there's a ton of you that are probably gonna be like, oh my God, I gotta go look up what Matt just said. And you're gonna discover it's true. But now imagine these people, all right, being raised like that in these schools. That's what Israel has to figure out how to defuse and re-educate in order to have a peaceful society. And it's going to be a crap sandwich. It's going to be a huge crap sandwich. And there's going to be a lot of violence that's going to take place. And that terrorism isn't going to go anywhere. You can't kill an idea. You can only kill a person. I don't know how else to state that. You can't kill an idea. You can only kill a person. That's how that goes down. There's no other way to go about that whatsoever. So that's part of the issue. Now, let's talk about Ukraine for a hot minute because, you know, that was the talk of the town the other day, along with the security guarantees that were going on over inside of Ukraine. And obviously, peace inside of Ukraine would be a good thing if they were able to have it. Well, here's Sergei Lavrov, all right, talking about these security guarantees.
Ми за те, щоб ці гарантії були дійсно надіжними. І здесь у нас є дуже хороший примір, который, кстати, относится к инициативе самой украинской стороны. Так это было в Стамбуле в апреле 2022 года. Украинская сторона предложила, а наша делегация тогда согласилась, разработать гарантии безопасности, участниками которых были бы все постоянные члены Совета Безопасности ООН, то есть и Российская Федерация, и Китайская Народная Республика, США, Франция, Британия, и плюс отдельные страны, упоминалась Германия, упоминалась Турция, и другие страны, которые могут быть заинтересованы в том, чтобы присоединиться к этой группе гарантов безопасности. Я уверен, что на Западе, прежде всего в Соединенных Штатах, прекрасно понимают, что всерьез обсуждать вопрос обеспечения безопасности без Российской Федерации – это утопия, это путь в никуда.
All right, so let's just go ahead and break this down real quick. Tom Bone says, you're right. You can't kill the idea. There's a reason why they say the pen is mightier than the sword. That's a fact, Tom. It's a fact, and it's a very scary fact. So let's break down, and you can summarize everything that Lavrov just said here in the last couple sentences, right? I am confident that in the West, first and foremost in the United States, they perfectly understand that discussing the issue of security without the Russian Federation in a serious manner is a utopia and a road to nowhere. That's insane. All right. And what's being floated around in the media right now is that Trump essentially got played. That's what they're stating, that Trump got played. And that because Lavrov ended up coming out and stating this, that everything is going to end up falling on his face. I want to remind everybody that him stating that is, number one, Russia trying to save face. And if they're going to be coming to the table and they're going to be trying to do this, that is very likely, yeah, Russia would be included in that. Russia would have to promise, absolutely have to promise, to respect Ukraine's sovereignty for whatever lines are drawn after that. Period. That's a fact. Russia would have to promise to expect that, to respect their sovereignty, just like they did in the Budapest Memorandum. Now, with that being said, Russia also is not going to have a right to go and be inside of Ukraine willy-nilly. That's also never going to be allowed. So while Lavrov wants to sit here and he wants to state all of this crap, it doesn't mean that they're going to be protecting Ukraine. No. Absolutely not. But guaranteeing that they're going to respect Ukraine's sovereignty, that's most certainly going to be a part of it. And so what he's actually stating is true with a massive twist on it and a huge political spin. Yes, Russia has to be included in this. That's a fact. But when it goes down to, what they're going to do militarily in order to defend Ukraine is something entirely different. And if that is what he actually has in mind, I want you to think all the way back to the 90s when they tried to join NATO after the collapse of the Soviet Union and we told them to kiss off. because the country didn't change. Not a snowball's chance in hell they're going to get access to any of those things. It's just not going to happen. What they will be forced to do is to respect the sovereignty. And Russia is not in a position to negotiate, as I've explained over the last couple of days. And the reason that is I want you guys to take a look at this. Sanctions, new sanctions coming out from Ukraine. I told you guys yesterday that there is a fuel problem over inside of Russia and over inside of the Donbass. I want you guys to take a look at this. That is a gas station or a petrol station. I don't care how you choose to call it. Look at that line of vehicles going on out there right now. All right. Their economy, regardless of what anybody tells you, is hurting, and it's hurting bad. Look at this line of cars. And this isn't one isolated case. I've got another freaking video to show you guys. These are all people waiting in line, and they're getting rationed fuel at this point. They're not in a position to negotiate. And remind you, this is like one of Russia's biggest exports. Look at that. Biggest export being oil. They don't have the ability to refine it. They don't have the ability to put it on their street. Where do you think all of that oil is going to? Where do you think all of that fuel is going to? Obviously, it's going up to the frickin' front line, and they're using it to like push the frickin' war machine, right? Now, this is something that also Ukraine has to deal with, right? Ukraine also, for a while there, was getting like the fuel rationed out. But again, when we look at this, right, and you look at the vastness of this situation, I want you to think about how badly Russian logistics are up over on the front. If they wanted to make an actual push up over into the front line and continue to take territory, they've got a long ways to go. A very, very long ways to go. Very, very long ways to go. Because as long as this oil crisis hits them, no fuel, your vehicles don't roll. Logistics is a huge problem. And so not only are they getting their crap pushed in every time they try to assault on the front line, but they also don't have the ability to continue to fuel their mechanized units to move up over into Kiev. Dude, you understand like the size of a force that they have to move and push to make that happen. Understand that every vehicle that gets destroyed has fuel inside of it. Understand that every single freaking train, like the one that I showed last night, and if you guys haven't seen that, check this out. What do you guys think? Let me put this up on the screen here for you. What do you think was inside of this train? Let me get this up. Where is it? I want to make sure that I actually get this up here for you guys. Shared this last night. It's not that one. It's this one. What do you guys think was inside of this train? What do you think they're going after? What do you think they're targeting with these drones? This strike took place over inside of Zaporizhia, on its way over into Tokmak, all right, heading over into that direction, where they have big headquarters elements. What do you think they're targeting here? Targeting fuel. And they're targeting the rail line. Because this big, massive freaking strike, now they've got a lot of railroads that are going to need to be rebuilt. And think about the amount of fuel that just got taken out there. All of that is used to fuel those vehicles on the front. And if they can't get the fuel, they can't roll. And Putin, again, you know, a new assessment came out that in order for them just to like advance and take like, you know, outlying provinces, that or not provinces, territories from where they currently sit, they need another 2 million troops just to take those. To make their way all the way up to Kiev, they need right around 5 million plus, easy. 5 million killed and or wounded. So they actually need more than that. Russia is not in a position to negotiate. So when Lavrov comes out and he says things like that, and he makes those statements, understand that they're inflammatory in nature, and that they're essentially no more than freaking, I don't know, the paper tiger of China. Tom Bones, does Russia even have any mechanized units left, considering the fact that they've already lost over 2,000 armored vehicles as it is? Yeah, they still got them. They're sparse. Very sparse. But those soldiers that are moving across the front line, dude, they're not walking their way to the front. They're getting trucked in and they're getting trucked out. They're getting, and if they're going to move and they're going to ride on Kiev, they certainly can't do it on foot if they're going to take terrain. They're going to continue forward. You've got to have fuel to push those logistics forward. And so whether or not they have those mechanized units, And those things all get taken out and they try to refit and they bring up old World War II tanks like we currently see on the battlefield. I mean, all of the logistics supply that gets pushed forward has to be done with fuel, right? And they don't have it. So their logistical supply issues are huge. They can't even get water into Donetsk. There's a huge water shortage over in Donetsk. So for them to try to come out and state that, you know, they're going to keep fighting, I think is just a joke. There's a reason Putin's now coming to the table, and it's not because they're doing very good. Here's another Russian ammunition depot that got taken out overnight over inside of Ukraine. I actually think that this was somewhere near Zaporizhia as well. So you've got ammo depots that are constantly being taken out. Those things need to be restocked before they can move forward. I've showed you guys, I think I actually have coming up here in just a sec, a strike. No, that's just a vehicle getting blown up. You guys want to see some Russians die real quick? Here's some Russians dying inside of a vehicle. All right. Getting attacked, obviously, trying to make its way across. Woo! And those, man, those guys got some vertical leap, man. Some straight vert. Kobe! Right? Look at him go. So, hate the music that's always attached. But when we look at things like this, all right? This is a headquarters element over Russia, and a headquarters element over inside Zaporizhia, all right, that's being attacked. And it's being hit with an airstrike. When you have things like this that are occurring, when these are constantly being taken out, Russians have to refit. They have to figure out how to coordinate. They have to figure out how to do better. And right now they can't. With 1 million plus Russians killed and or wounded, think of the effect that actually has on the freaking battlefield. Think of the effect that has on leadership. How many Russian generals have died in this conflict for crying out loud? A buttload. And all of that leadership experience is now gone. It's gone. Not to mention your battlefield commanders, your small group leaders, all of those things that are up over on the front line that continue to get killed on a daily basis. All of that experience is gone. And that creates a massive nightmare when it comes trying to figure it out. You can put a body in a uniform, that's fine. But the experience that was inside of the previous uniform, you can't replace that. There's no way you can replace that. And that's what Russia has now came to. And that's why it would take them over 5 million just to get up to Kiev. They can't do it. They don't have the manpower. They don't have the logistical supplies. They don't have the freaking support in order to make it happen. And I don't care how many munitions North Korea, Iran, et cetera, ends up sending them. It's just impossible when you start thinking about like human bodies filling inside of those uniforms, ladies and gentlemen. So, like I said, it's a freaking crapshoot. And I don't think that Russia, I think that they're going to have an issue when it comes to these security guarantees. I think it's going to be a big slap in the face to them. I don't think they're going to be very happy when they end up learning about all this, when they actually sit down at the table with Zelensky. If Putin actually agrees and shows up somewhere, Belarus, Geneva, I think France, several nations have came forward and said, look, we will host this meeting between Zelensky and frickin' Putin. They're not going to Belarus, dude. Not a snowball's chance in hell Zelensky's going to go to Belarus. Switzerland seems like a pretty good spot. But you got to understand that that too could fail, right? And that this can continue on. And if it does continue on, more and more Russians are going to continue dying. And a couple months from then, you're likely going to see Putin trying to come back to the table under different guise, trying to make this happen. This war is going to continue on for several more months at a minimum, even if they end up coming up with the stuff. It's not going to end tomorrow, right? And I think Trump is very naive when he ends up stating that this is just going to end like lickety split. As soon as they talk, then I'll just go over there and solidify it. It'll be done. No, you won't. It's not going to go down like that, my friend. It's just not. So that is your current situational update, ladies and gentlemen. Again, please don't forget to subscribe to the channel. Consider becoming a true supporter. Get access over into our Discord and all sorts of other great things. I'll make sure I post up a link over here in just a little bit. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to take off. Just got an important call that I got to return that I've been waiting on for quite a while. So thank you guys very much for joining me on this morning's stream. Be on the lookout for a video later on today. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless. See you guys tonight on the next live session.
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.